friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this Christmas edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We are into the month of December. Everything's going to happen very, very fast. Black Friday is over, and I hope you survived, and we just do pray that God will cause us to have one of the most spiritually enlightened, spiritually illuminated, spiritually blessed Christmas that we could possibly imagine. I believe we need to draw near to the Lord and get very, very close to Him and understand with a new, deep appreciation of just what it means to every one of us. See, if you're not a Christian, this involves you today. We want you to stay tuned and hear this message, because this Christmas can be the best Christmas of your life. Amen. Because it can lead you to eternal life when this life is over, if you receive Jesus as your Savior. Well, we invite you to go into this Bible study with us. I want you to be intrigued by the message that we're bringing for this Christmas season, the cradle and the cross, the bittersweet story of Christmas. We want you to understand just what it meant when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Amen. And what He came to accomplish, and what He did, in fact, accomplish through His coming into this fallen world. Amen. And to see the real power and purpose of His birth in that cradle in Bethlehem. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, and if you're a Christian today, we want you to stay tuned, because I don't have to tell you about the rush and the hustle and the bustle and the commercialization of Christmas. And I'm not, someone that's an opponent of giving gifts and celebrating and having all of the holiday events that bring families together and bring joy to hearts. But we, of all people, should be able to appreciate the real meaning of Christmas and have it communicated at some point in our festivities that we understand and we celebrate for a deeper, deeper reason than anyone in the world is celebrating. We're celebrating salvation at Christmas is what we're really doing. Praise God. Amen. So we want you to stay tuned for this message, the cradle and the cross, the bittersweet story of Christmas. If we really grasp what it meant when Jesus was laid in a manger, we will always see the manger in the light of the cross and in the shadow of the cross. I was asked a very good question through an email one Christmas season, and the question was, why a cross? Why did Jesus have to die in particular upon a cross? It's a tough question to answer, but first I would like to try to answer why in a manger. Why was Jesus born in a manger? One thing you learn about God as you go through the Scriptures and search the Scriptures and study the Word of God, He's a stickler for detail. Nothing is happening that He hasn't purposed to happen. Amen. And He is a stickler for times and dates and details. God is a God of the detail. He sees to everything, and everything that He does has meaning. There is nothing mundane. There is nothing that is just happenstance with God. God is a God of precision. We can look at the universe, and the Bible said it declares His handiwork, the universe in perfect precision. Amen. In every planet, every star, in its orbit, in a perfect, precise way. This is God's handiwork. This is how God does things. So some things, if we read over in the Scripture, we may get a little bit of a sentimental feeling from, but we may not get the spiritual impact of. Well, we want to back up a little bit and go back to the story of Christmas and see the significance of each and every event that occurred, that and what it accomplished for you and for me. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, let's talk about the manger to begin with. Why was Jesus Christ born in a manger. I know, because there was no room in the inn. We read that in the scripture. But why did God choose to have him born in a manger? Amen. There wasn't supposed to be room in that inn for him. God planned that he would have to be born in this particular place, and there is a spiritual significance. So we're going to talk about the cradle before we talk about the cross. Luke 2 and verse 7 in the New Testament said, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." The manger was simply the feed trough for stable animals. Why was the King of the universe, the creator of all that is seen, born among lowly beasts? Listen, because the manger was the first step toward the cross. Jesus didn't come into this fallen world to lay in a cradle, but to hang on a cross. He came to bear our sins, to literally become our sacrifice lamb. When John the Baptist saw him, he cried, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When John the Revelator saw him in heaven's throne room, he saw him as a lamb that had been slain. How appropriate, how gloriously significant that Jesus, our sacrifice lamb, would be born in a stable or cave where animals were sheltered. He was laid on a manger where animals ate. Spiritually speaking, Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. But this she did not know, that to a cruel cross he would someday go. Why manger? Because he was born into this world a sacrifice lamb. Archaeologists have helped us understand where Jesus was born because they've discovered special fields for the sacrificial lambs just outside Bethlehem. The lambs were sacrificed for the sins of believers, and according to Hebrews 9:22, according to the law, almost everything is purified by blood, and sins are forgiven only if blood is poured out. Suitable lambs, specially selected without defect or flaw, were kept 5 miles southwest from the temple in Jerusalem. The lambs were in fields called Migdal Edar, which means the tower of the flock. Here, temple shepherds cared for the lambs for the sacrifice. In the cradle of Bethlehem was a lamb that would impact our future, our world, and our destiny. Palaces were proper places in which princes would be born, but a manger in a Bethlehem field was the proper place for the Lamb of God. The shepherds identified the Lamb of God. One thing a temple shepherd could do was recognize a sacrificial lamb. The Messiah would suffer and die as a sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. Where Jesus was born was not incidental, accidental. It was not the innkeeper's fault that there was no room in the inn. It was all part of the plan of God. The shepherds were told in Luke 2:11 and 12, "Today, in the town of Bethlehem, the city of David, a Savior is born unto you, and he is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The proof was the baby was wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. 750 years before they saw this event unfold, Micah had foretold that a ruler of Israel would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. But in the passing of time, that prophecy had been forgotten. But when some astrologers came from the east, following a bright, moving star, asked Herod where a new ruler would be born, the priest immediately identified Bethlehem. Here's what Jesus said in Luke 19 and verse 10. "I have come to seek and to save the lost." And in Mark 10 and verse 45, he said, I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life to redeem many people. Jesus knew the purpose of His coming as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, which would be remembered around the table and would involve His sacrificial death upon the cross. We sing the carol, or we have sung the carol in the past, Christians Awake. And one of the verses says, "Oh, may we keep and ponder in our mind God's wondrous love in saving lost mankind. Trace we the babe who hath retrieved our loss from the poor manger to the bitter cross." Ah, friend of mine, I want you to know that Jesus came. Jesus came into this fallen world for the express purpose of taking our place and our punishment on a cruel cross. And that's why it is a bittersweet story, because if we really grasp why that baby was laid in that manger, it is because He was going to the cross and become the sacrifice Lamb of God. And I am so glad to declare to you today that this kind of love is flowing from that cross and from the heart of Jesus Christ and from the Father toward every person on this planet. You know, the Bible said it's not His will that any perish, but that all would have eternal life. And that is the great message of Christmas. It's all about forgiveness. It's all about grace. It's all about salvation. Praise God. I want to read something to you that happened several years back, but it's something so significant to me. My wife was reading a book on Psalm 91, all of the promises of protection and provision that is given by a holy God. You know, we're living in a day when the God of the Bible seems to be just that, the God of the Bible, not the God of present day, that can touch, that can meet, that can help, that can manifest Himself to us in the time of our greatest need, that can grant sufficient grace, that can be with us and go with us through all of the heartache and heartbreak of faulty bodies in a fallen world. I want to declare to you that that God exists, and every promise that He's made is yea and amen. In Jesus Christ, the God we serve never fails. He never changes. If we put our trust in Him, He will not fail to help us in the hour of our greatest need, beginning with the salvation of our soul, but then with His commitment to go with us all the way through all of life's pitfalls and problems, even to the end of the age. It was a Sunday afternoon, June the 1st, 1975, Darrell Dorr was on an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. Suddenly, it wobbled, tipped to one side, and crashed into the sea. Darrell was trapped inside a room on the rig. As the rig sank deeper and deeper into the sea, the lights went out and the room began to fill with water. Thrashing about in the darkness, Darrell accidentally found a huge air bubble that was forming in the corner of the room. He thrust his head into it. Then, in a horrifying thought that sent a shiver down his spine, he realized, "I am buried alive in the dark, deep, deep in the ocean." Darrell began to pray out loud, and as he did, something remarkable happened. And this is what he said in his own words, and I quote, "I found myself actually talking to someone." And then he identified the someone. He said, "Jesus was there with me. There was no illumination, nothing physical, but I sensed Him, a comforting presence. He was real. He was there." For the next 22 hours, that presence continued to comfort Darrell. But now the oxygen supply inside the bubble was giving out. Death seemed inevitable. It was just a matter of time. Then a remarkable thing happened. Darrell saw a tiny strand of light shimmering in the pitch black water. Was it real? Or after 22 hours, was he beginning to hallucinate? Darrell squinted his eyes. The light seemed to grow brighter. He squinted again. It wasn't hallucinating. The light was real. It was coming from a diver's helmet. Someone had found him. His 22-hour nightmare was over. Rescue had come, and he was saved. That true story is a remarkable illustration of what Christmas is all about. You see, friend, into our sin-darkened, hopeless, fallen world, where death imposed its absolute authority and terror, our Savior came to us. Jesus, born in a manger in Bethlehem, and the people, the Bible said, prophetic of that event, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Soon after his humble but glorious birth, the joy of this miracle child would be overshadowed by the ominous shadow of the cross. But it all began in Bethlehem. It all began as a beautiful, perfect little child lay in a manger. Why a manger? Because he was already the Lamb of God. He came to die on the cross. He came to lay down his life. You know what Jesus said? He said, "No man takes my life from me." He wanted us to clearly understand that he was not a victim of Pilate's mandate. He was not a victim of Caesar and Rome's authority. He was not a victim of the Sanhedrin court. It doesn't mean those organizations and those people are not going to be held accountable for what they did to him. It does mean that he allowed this to happen. He committed himself to the purpose for which he came in the Garden of Gethsemane when he cried, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will be done." It was the will of God. In fact, the Bible said it pleased him. It pleased him. How could God be pleased with the tortured death of his son? Because he knew that through that sacrificial death, eternal life could be given to all of the hopeless, helpless people that in no way could save ourselves or deliver ourselves from the judgment to come. Ah, when Jesus said it's accomplished on that cross, it was the consummation of Christmas itself. And most of the time people fail to understand and grasp how powerfully important this birth of this child was. If he hadn't been born, if he hadn't become incarnate and came into our world, and if he hadn't, the perfect one with sinless blood, if he hadn't shed that blood on that cross, there would be no way that anyone could have any hope of salvation or deliverance. There could be no prayer answered. There would be no presence of God with us. You know, the Bible said that he was to be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I don't know what kind of bitter experience that you have been through this Christmas season or are going through right now, but I'm telling you, we serve a God who can keep his promise when he said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way." And a lot of times we can't see in the circumstance any evidence of him with us, but there is a spiritual manifestation of his presence and his peace, his grace and his love in your life, that you will know down in your heart that he is near. He can touch you where no one can touch you, help you like no one can help you, hold you like no one can hold you. Ah, this is the glory of Christmas. This is the story of Christmas. This is why he came, and this is what he accomplished. You know, a lot of songs and sermons at Christmas point to a manger in Bethlehem, to Mary and her holy child, and rightfully so. God did indeed send his son into this fallen world. Some only see Jesus, therefore, as the Christ child, the little innocent baby who came to teach us to love one another and to live in peace with one another. There's truth in that. He is God's love gift. In the Old Testament, His royal title, one of His royal names, prophetically, is Prince of Peace. To some, Jesus is a mere religious symbol, a perpetual child, a sweet, innocent baby that evokes sentimental emotions. Ah, but friend, He came for a greater purpose than to evoke sentimentality and pray for peace. But if we would fully appreciate the birth of our Savior, we must fully realize why He came. That's why we've titled this teaching, The Cradle and the Cross, because they are inseparable. If Jesus had not been born in the cradle, in the manger, He couldn't have went to the cross and paid the sin debt. Our sin debt brought Him here into this fallen world. Our separation from our God and our God's desire to bridge that gap that sin had created brought Him from heaven's glory to a manger in Bethlehem. Our helplessness, our hopeless condition, hurting, aging, dying, without God and without hope. Jesus didn't accomplish our salvation by laying in a manger, but by hanging on a cross. I've said it before, and it was so impressive. It's imprinted vividly in my memory. One church in our town that had a very simple manger scene out front. It wasn't elaborate at all, and yet when the sun went down, they had a cross made out of 2x4s, I believe, and some boards, maybe 2x6 to cast the shadow. But it was a simple wooden cross, and it was laid in such a way in front of that manger that a floodlight in front of the cross illuminated the manger and cast the shadow of the cross, right across where Jesus Christ was laid in the manger. And it captured and encapsulated what I'm trying to communicate through the Scripture today. And that is that when Jesus was born into this world, He was born in order to become the sacrifice lamb to take away the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Like the little baby lamb that was set aside for the sacrifice in ancient Israel, so was our Savior's birth. That's why God sent Him, and that's why He came. Someone said it best when he said the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might become the sons of God. I'm going to say that again. The Son of God became the Son of Man, so that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Jesus came, friend, to reconcile us to God. And God initiated that process and that proclamation of His love and grace and desire for reconciliation when He sent His only begotten Son. You know, when the Bible said when God gave His Son, it didn't just mean He sent Him to lay in that manger. He sent Him here for the express purpose of going to the cross, being punished in our place, that we could be saved through His sacrifice. I'm going to read this in Galatians 4, verse 4 through 7. It said, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ." One paraphrase reads in part, "God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. Friend of mine, Jesus bought our freedom and brought our freedom by paying the ransom price in full at the cross. And that's the glory, and that's the story of Christmas. And that's why, regardless of the circumstances we may find ourselves in, if we find ourselves, amen, as recipients of God's love through Jesus Christ, and recipients of sonship, becoming part of the royal family of God, having our sins forgiven, regardless of any other state or circumstance of this temporal life in this temporal world, we have reason to rejoice with great joy. That was the message of angels, wasn't it? Amen. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto us is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord's. Temple shepherds got the message. Temple shepherds began to comprehend this was no ordinary birth. This was no ordinary baby. This was a baby set aside to be sinless, that he might shed that sinless blood upon a cruel cross, that sinners like you and me, friend, could come and have our sins forgiven, be sealed by the Holy Spirit, and to live forever with him and with our loved ones that precede us there. There's no story like Christmas and no glory like Christmas, because it was the beginning of the purpose of God to seek and to save the lost. And friend of mine, if you don't know Jesus today, if you're one of those lost ones, he came seeking you. And we're on the radio telling you about it this Christmas season, in the midst of the hustle, the bustle, the commercialization, the drunkenness that's going to occur, all of the things. And you know what? Most people, as soon as that day is over, because of all the pressure and the hustle and bustle, they're going to take a deep sigh of relief and say, I'm so glad it's over. But for those to understand, appreciate, and appropriate, amen, why Jesus came into this fallen world and what he accomplished at the cross, it is an ongoing thing. It will reach from this world into eternity. Praise God. Amen. To infinity and beyond. We will be living with God forever and ever in a new heaven and a new earth that sin has not tainted or tarnished, where there's no death, no disease, no heartache, no heartbreak, no crying. Praise God, for all of those things, according to the book of Revelation, are gone forever. So if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior today, this is the story and glory of Christmas. Don't miss this opportunity, this Christmas season, to come to the Lamb of God. Come to Jesus Christ. Come just as you are. Confess your sins and receive him as your Savior. Friend, this can not only change your immediate circumstance in terms of his peace flowing into your heart and his presence committed to be with you, but it'll change your eternal destiny. You can live here in a world filled with the certainty of physical death, with the hope of life eternal, and you can live it with confidence and consolation. Today, if you're a Christian, don't get so caught up in the hustle and bustle that we don't find the joy of salvation, the joy of sins forgiven, the joy of sonship. This Christmas season, let's celebrate Jesus, not only the baby in the manger, but the man who died for us on the cross and who's coming back to get us very, very soon. Well, God bless you. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.